Well, good morning. My name is Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor here at the church. Most of you guys know me, but it's good to be back. I see some people, new faces again. People have come. It's great, right? It feels like, hey, welcome back. It's good for you to be here with us, Lord, in God's house, PR, the cafeteria at Reagan.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not the place, right? Where does the Spirit of God live? Here and there when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But it's good to see brothers and sisters we haven't seen in a while. So it's good to catch up. And it really just warms my heart to see just people, you know, listen, the church has life. Amen. And it's good to see people worshiping and growing. And this series is all about growth. It's all about being discipled, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you guys remember 2 weeks ago when we started the series off, we started about Jesus' call, right? His call to discipleship, his invitation. And then last week we learned about being yoked to Jesus Christ and how his yoke is light and how he invites us to intimacy. Now, you guys remember the visual? I was yoked with my wife and we were trying to walk. And she was trying to pull away from me and I was like, get over here. No, I didn't say that. She was trying to, sometimes we do that to Jesus, yeah? That's why we have to stay yoked to him. It's not optional. Today we're going to dive in and learn more about what it means to have love in action and to serve the way that Jesus served. And you're like, oh, another message on serving. I'm already part of this team. I set up and tear down. Calm down, right? You still need to serve like Jesus, right? Whether you're at home or at work or here in the church, you need to serve like Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't just serve on Sundays. He didn't just serve on Tuesday when you host Bible study. Jesus served what? All the time. Amen. And so that's what we're going to learn today. In fact, I was going to look for a broom or for a little object lesson. I couldn't find one. So that's what I told Stephanie at home. She said, how come you haven't? I couldn't find the broom. That's why the house is dirty. I couldn't find the vacuum. She just rolled her eyes at me. She's like, you know exactly where it is. I know. I do. But that's another. I'm going to sign up for the marriage counseling in the back. Okay. But listen, there's a story that's kind of famous. It's from back in, you guys remember during the John F. Kennedy days, there was that whole race to the moon between the United States and Russia. You guys remember that? And one day John F. Kennedy was taking a tour of NASA. It was 1962, and there was a man that was there, and he was wearing a coverall. He was picking up boxes. He had a broom, and he was just sweeping, you know, just pretending like I was sweeping here. And the president walked up to him. He says, sir, what are you doing? What's your job here? And the guy looks up to him. He says, Mr. President, I'm here working to put a man on the moon. Right? Amen. Do you get that? He said that the man was so dialed in. He could have answered. He says, oh, my job is just, you know, they pay me minimum wage, minimum pay for minimum work. You guys know people like that? You talk to them. It doesn't matter what. My boss is terrible. You know, let me tell you, Mr. President, about all this drama. No, he didn't say any of that. He said, I'm here working to put a man on the moon. Amen. He was there because he has the right attitude and the right purpose and the right heart, right? He was in alignment with serving to what they were trying to do collectively. Amen. And that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Because when you have the right mindset and the right attitude of why you're doing something, it changes your approach of why you do it. Yes? Otherwise, if you're just doing what you're doing because it's like, well, this is what they pay me to do, then what immediately you're already what? Negative, disgruntled, right? Who's not doing this and that? But when you're aligned to the vision of why you're there, why you have the same purpose, it changes everything. And so you, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you know that, but you belong to the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. And Jesus died for this bride. I don't know how many brothers in the room would die for their bride. One brother. The rest of the guys are like, you're on your own, babe. Something happens, I'm hiding. I'm equal opportunity. You can do it like I can do it. You take care of yourself. No, right? We would die for our bride, yes or no? Jesus died for his bride, yes? The big C, the church of Jesus Christ. It's something amazing that Jesus invites you to be a part of, to serve in his church. I don't know if you know that. Oftentimes when you meet people on the street, they often will ask you, hey, so-and-so, I'm Jesse, I'm, you know, Pablo. Oh yeah, where are you from? I'm from Sanger. And then the next question is always, what do you do for a living? You get that question a lot? I always say that because it's like always a question of matter of like, it's sometimes, yes, we're genuinely interested, but oftentimes that person is trying to what? Size you up, right? So like when you walk into a room and you're like, I think I could take Joey. Size him up. I'm wearing my flannel shirt today. Like OG. I can't take Joey. I already told you guys I'm not a fighter, okay? I'm very good, Joey. We're good. We're good. Peace. Peace be with you. I thought it was at the Catholic Church. We did peace be with you. But people want to size you up, right? People want to look at you and they want to say, like, what do you do for a living? And you say, well, I'm a teacher at Riverview Elementary. I'm the best darn first grader, second grader, second grade teacher that there is in all of Riverview, right? Amen. That's right. So listen, people try to size you up all the time. But here's the other thing. You forget that you belong to something that's even bigger than the person that pays your check, yes? On your paycheck, it says Kings Canyon Unified, United Health Service, whatever it is. You belong to something that's bigger and greater. You know what it is? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. Because you could tell people, look them straight in the eye and say, you know what? I'm a part of an organization that focuses on modifying people's behaviors or the good. It turns liars, compulsive liars, into truth tellers. It breaks hearts. It's people that are addicted to drugs and they have all this trauma. You know what we do in our organization? We bring them and we make them whole. You're like, what? What organization is that? I want to work there. And you know what else we do? When people run away from people who are broken and messed up and marriages are all screwed up, my organization, we go in there and we care for them and we meet with them and we show them the love of God. And we bring people from death to life. And they'll be like, what? What kind of voodoo is this you're doing? Right? And you can tell them with a straight face that I'm a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. You can say that if Jesus is Lord. Amen? And the other thing that you can say is that if you're actually serving and doing something for the church. Amen? See, a lot of us yesterday, Niner fans, Bills fans, our heart was broken, man. I'm still feeling it. That's why I was worshiping hard, because I was heartbroken yesterday. You would have taken my blood pressure yesterday. I was like, part of me, like, for 30 minutes wanted to cry for real, but nothing would come out. I'm like dead on the inside, guys. I have a hard time crying. But I wanted to. It's like my wife tells me, I want to watch a good movie that makes me cry. Let me just get it out. Some of you guys go through that? Let me just get it out. That's how I felt yesterday, but I was just, no. My blood pressure was all high. And it was terrible. But see, that's just us as fans of the game, fans of the sport. The people who were actually on the team, can you imagine what they felt? In fact, I know Josh Allen cried for like 10 minutes. And I was like, you just weren't a fumble. There were like three picks, Josh Allen. We would have been in the AFC Championship. I did not feel, I had no empathy yesterday. Today, more empathetic. Pray for me. Keep praying for me. That's why God made me a Bills fan. So I'd be a man of faith. Man of faith. Every year. And this, and my brother here, a Raider fan, okay? He's a man of faith. But listen, we don't belong. We're just fans. And see, Jesus is inviting you not just to be a fan of the church, not just to be a fan of what we do. He's inviting you to serve, to be a part of his church. Amen? That's what we're going to learn today. So let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to pick up in verse 35. Mark 10, 35. Let me know you guys are there. You say amen, or you can follow along on the screen. Get there? All right. Mark 10, verse 35 says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, isn't that a cool name? Zebedee. It like just rolls off the tongue, huh? What's your name? Zebedee. Zebedee dibbity. Bop. Sorry. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, right, the sons of the came to him. And teacher, they said, want you to do whatever we ask. Man, really? Like, if you're one of the other disciples, right, immediately they come, teacher, we want, like, your kids ever try this on you? I want you to, whatever I ask you, I want you to say yes, though. You already know what. What's coming? It's like some kind of ask, right? They want something right off the bat. We have a son that does that, right? We know what I'm talking about. He's kind of sneaky like that, but we're on to him. They said, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. And then Jesus replied, what do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. And Jesus replies, you don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those whom they have been prepared. And when the 10 heard about this, right, they became indignant. They said, with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know, those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Let's read that again. And whoever wants to be first, say it together, must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Amen? Amen. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's one of my favorite verses too, Mark 10:45. Because I need to be reminded, right? I need to be reminded constantly that it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Say that with me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Amen? Because we need to be reminded very often, very frequently, because we'll forget. Because what's the other mindset sometimes that we have? The flesh has its own mindset. It says, I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. That's right. That's how the flesh talks too. It talks all sneaky like that. And I'm always on my mind. But the first thing we're going to do, let's break this passage down, right? The context is that Jesus has just, I don't know if you guys know this, but in the previous portions of chapter 10, he has just told them that something's going to happen to him. What is he telling them? That he's going to go to the cross. Man, I tell you guys, the smartest church in Sangre, California, and the most beautiful, right? He's telling them that he's going to go to the cross. And they don't get it. This is why this is kind of, when you read it, I laugh and I chuckle because the disciples, they don't get it. Huh? Like he just says, I'm going to die, guys. I'm going to the cross. And then they said, we have Jesus. We want to do whatever we ask you. Please do it. And he says, what do you want? And the first thing that they ask him is that they want to be in positions of what? They want to be seated at the right and at the left hand when he comes into his glory. Right? What are they asking for? They're asking for power. They're asking for position. Right? And in fact, Jesus kind of flips the script on them. But the first thing that we realize, right, is that the disciples, they want position, they want status, and they want recognition. Yeah? Everybody wants that. Don't you want to be recognized? Let's be honest. It feels good to be recognized, yes? It feels good to say, like, hey, good job, brother. I see you. You show up to these meetings. You speak up for all the staff. You wear a tie. I love it. I see you. Inside joke. Doesn't it feel good? It feels nice to be recognized. And that's what they're asking for. But Jesus immediately flips it on them, and he makes it clear, right? The first thing that you need to follow Jesus and to serve is that you have to remember that discipleship begins with a servant's heart. That's the first fill in the blank. That's the first point from today's message. That discipleship begins with having a servant's heart. See, they weren't thinking about serving. When they made those requests, right, when you're sitting in the place of honor, what usually happens? You're waited on, right? People treat you good. Oh, come here. Let's This is your seat right here. Seated at the right hand of Jesus. Right? That'd be nice. I'll be honest with you. I would love to sit at the right hand of Jesus. Yeah? I would like to sit at the left. Let me be in the back. I don't even care. I'll just be right here. Jesus, you're right here. I'm going to be all upon Jesus. Hey, Jesus, where are you going? I would love that. Yes or no? Yeah, right? Just like, you know, be like Mary, right? Be at the feet of Jesus. I would love that. But here's the thing that we ask for, right? That James and John, they're asking for a place of honor that tells you immediately that their heart is not what? In a place of humility. It is not in a place of humility, right? Because if you want to serve Jesus Christ, you need to come what? Humbly. See, Jesus is already what? He's already king. He's already Lord. And guess what? When you show up with your crown, that's one too many. You better take yours off. Because yours is fake. You got a fake crown. You think you're all cool. Yours is plastic even, right? Like the queens that show up with the floats. Think you're all... I like when they wave like that too. They even, I was like, hey, they got the wave down. You show up, but you better take your crown off when you come before Jesus, amen? Because you don't, your crown's not that, it's not all that. There's already one Lord. There's already one King. He's on the throne already, right? And we're like, no, Jesus, get out of the way. This is for me. Jesus, why don't you sit over there? This is for me, right? And that's not having a heart of what? Of humility. It means that you want to take the throne from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How exactly is that going to work? It's not. It's not. Amen. Thank you, Sister Irene. You're going to be preaching next week. She has all this. The back tables, they're paying attention today. But here's the thing, right? You can't be a disciple if your heart is full of pride. You can't follow. You're not teachable. Have you ever tried to teach somebody that knows it all? They know it all already, huh? We used to have a cousin. Yes or no, my brother? Yo sé. Every time you try, what do you mean, yo sé? You can't even say this in English. Yeah, sorry. But like, yo sé. We were trying to teach him. I said, bro, you come on. A little bit of humility. Oh, I know. I know. Or they mess up. I was like, oh, that's because you messed it up. Like, you did it. I was like, you know people like that? Yeah, that person might be sitting right next to you. Don't say nothing. It's going to be our secret. Me, you, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ with pride in your heart. To be a disciple, it means that you have to have humility. You have to come before God and allow Him to teach you, to be molded by Him. Be formed in His image and His likeness, yes? We're already that, we've already received that gift. Man, God comes to prune out some of these things, and it means that we got to get our pride out of the way. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And so the thing that you think about, right, is when you come into the church even, and sometimes you think about the church and you're like, oh, well, that's for you, Pastor. God called you to do that. Good for you. Yeah, God called me to this task, and I love it. It's my purpose, yes? I love it, whether you believe it or not. I find joy. I'm up at 5 o'clock when your cobija's all warm and your sarmarco's still on your face and a little bit of dribbles coming out. I'm already awake getting ready to serve God. It's my purpose and my calling. I love it. Yes? You don't have to say amen. It's my amen. Right? But God is calling you into a place of service somewhere. You're like, no, He's not calling me. He must have lost my number, Pastor. He's calling. But the thing is, are you listening and are you picking up? He's calling. Because here's the thing, right? When it comes to serving, you have to ask yourself. It's like when somebody asks you to do something at work. And you probably know people like this. You ask them to do something at work and they'll look at you and they'll say, they don't pay me to do that. That's a janitor's job. You know people like that? I know people like that. I know people in leadership like that. And when I hear that, man, it makes me want to like look them up and down and say, man, if I didn't love Jesus right now, I would tell you what's on my heart and my mind. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Because none of us is above anything. We're all people. We're all created. We're made in His image and His likeness, right? There's not a job that is too menial or too big for us to do for the Lord. Amen? And God is calling us into service. But you have to ask yourself before, right? The first thing that we're seeing, right, that Jesus is checking what? Their hearts. And so when you serve, whether it's here in the church or at work or wherever it is or your family, are you doing it because you're trying to look good? Are you doing it because you're trying to impress somebody? Are you? Yes? Somebody over here said that. Do you want the position? Or do you want to serve Jesus Christ? Or do you want to be served? Do you approach even your opportunities when God calls you? Do you approach it with humility? Or do you approach it with entitlement? Like, God has called me to this. I need to do this, right? And here's, let me just remind you. Jesus invites you to do it. He invites you to that. So that whole attitude and the mindset of being entitled and you deserve it and all that stuff, let me just be honest with you. You don't deserve anything. It's like when you tell your kids, you don't deserve nothing. You know what you deserve? You deserve my wrath. You deserve justice. That's what we deserve from God. Yes or no? God is merciful. He's kind. And we come before God all entitled. Oh, well, you know, Pastor Michael, he doesn't sing that good. I should be the lead singer. Because God has called me to this. If you have the talent, by all means. But guess what? On our team, the first thing that we always look for is what? You better be humble. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And so you can't come to Jesus with a sense of entitlement, thinking that the position that you've been worked for, that you've called and others, it's not about you. Jesus is going to check your heart first to make sure that it's not full of pride, to make sure that it's not full of entitlement, to make sure that you're not doing it to gain favor and so that people can look at you and say, oh, there's that brother. He works so hard. Oh, there's this he leads this ministry or he helps over here. Forget about all that. This is the most dangerous place for any man or woman to be. You know why? Because you start to think it's about you. And you forget that it's about Jesus. I subscribe to a newsletter. It's called Church Leaders. It's a newsletter that every day I get a reminder about church leaders that fail and fall. Just this week, I don't know if you guys know it, Philip Yancey, who's written like, he's sold like 15 million books, right, about he's like this guy, this big guy, resigned from his ministry in his 60s because why? Because he failed with the biggest temptation, right, that men always suffer with, oftentimes will suffer with, is what? Infidelity. And he had been leading a double life for 10 years. One of the pastors that I looked up to that was so instrumental to my faith when I came in RZI ministry, I loved that guy. He was like, I learned so much from him. After he died, again, similar thing, right? Tony Evans, right? Carl Lentz. I can go on and on and on and on. This is a dangerous place to be if you're not in love with Jesus first and humble. I'm just being really honest with you. And so Jesus is first going to check your heart. And that's a continuing saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to Jesus every single day and rebuking the lies of the enemy. Amen? Because ultimately, right, when we approach our opportunity for service, we better be filled with Jesus Christ. We better be filled with the Holy Spirit. This cup right here is filled with coffee. Okay, I'm going to come over here and stand right in front of Joey. And brother, I want you to come and butt me hard. Look at Joey. Joey's smiling. Oh, what's up, brother? No. No, I'm afraid that my brother, he'll take me out for sure. But you see, if I had a lid on it, if I didn't have a lid, what would have happened? I would have spilled. Huh? I would have spilled whatever was inside this cup. This is you and your life. This is your heart. When you're serving God, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you get bumped with what? Guess what? Your pride, your insecurities, your lust. What do you think is going to come out? Storms are going to come your way. Brothers and sisters, be prepared that storms are going to come your way. And you better be filled with the Holy Spirit. You better be filled with the Holy Spirit because guess what? Man, the enemy will use anything he can to break you down. It's a good thing the lid was on. So we need to be all about Jesus first and be in a place of humility. The second thing that we learn, and we see that in Mark 10:38 through 40, is when Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. He says, can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? That's a little tongue twister. We can, they answered, still full of pride. And Jesus says, you know what? You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left hand is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared. The second point that we see here is that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ requires sacrifice and surrender. Requires sacrifice and surrender. Because when you're going to serve, guess what? It's going to cost you everything, yes, right? When you serve wholeheartedly, it's going to cost you everything. Like my sister right here, she has this little beautiful baby. My other sister in the back, a beautiful baby boy. My other sister, another beautiful girl. What does it cost you to raise these children? A lot. Somebody said sleep, right? It costs you what? Costs you money, right? Man, I was at Costco. The diapers are like $50 now. I'm telling you. And the formula, it costs you everything, yes? It's going to cost you. To serve means that you have to sacrifice and surrender. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you comfort. It's going to cost you convenience. It's going to cost you what? Your pride, and that's a good one. Surrender. Slay that pride. And it's also going to cost you your personal preference. Listen, sometimes when you're serving in the church or you're serving God or serving your family or serving your kids, guess what? We always say it's not about you. In fact, the servant and the leader has to go what? Has to go last. Has to go last. It's not about you. They're like, what do you mean? I'm the man of the house. When I come home, everybody should come greet me. He's home from his long voyage from Fresno. What can we do for you? Let me take off your shoes. Can I get you your robe and slippers? Right? Some of the brothers in here is like, yeah, that sounds nice. I want that. Dad, where have you been? Right? Big old romantic kiss. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But the reality of it is like my brother's picture from last week when he was the donkey up there, right? Carrying there, serving everybody. Right? It costs you sacrifice and surrender. And you cannot serve without sacrifice. You have to make a decision. But listen, when you're serving Jesus Christ, nothing is better. When you're serving your family, nothing is better. Nothing is better. Why? Because you were made for service to the Lord. You were made to worship and made to serve God in your capacity. And whether that's the janitor, or that you're the manager, you're the middle line, whatever, it doesn't even matter what level that you're in. You're serving God first. And it should matter that we're serving Jesus Christ in everything that we do. It should matter. We shouldn't be the one that's complaining all the time. Are you the complainer at your work? Are you the one that's always stirring the pot and instigating? I'm just telling you. Are you feeling the Holy Spirit convicting you a little bit? Are you the one that's always negative? You're like the Eeyore in the family. How's it going? Oh, bother. Right? What's this day? Waiting to die. You know that? Mama knows what I'm talking about. Right? Is that the right attitude of service? Is that the right attitude we should have as brothers and sisters, as believers of Jesus Christ? Shouldn't be, right? And you know what? We all have that part inside of us, man. I'm telling you. The little baby. The complainer, the whiner. Some of you guys have a bigger one. A bigger baby like that. Yes or no? Yeah, you know it. Sometimes you have to say, be quiet, baby. Don't ever do that to your baby. But you have to do that to your inner baby that cries all the time. Because what does the baby do? When the baby wants something, when it cries. Wow, I didn't like it. Oh, they didn't tell me this. Oh, they're not looking at it. Shh. You're a grown adult. You have to say, enough, baby. There's no CPS between you and your baby, okay? You have to tell it sometimes. Yeah, cállate. Holy Spirit slap. For your baby, okay? Not the real baby, okay? We don't ever do that to our babies. Yes or no? It's not about you. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man. So people are going to play this back and say, Pastor was saying they need to smack their babies in there. Now, your inner baby, the pride baby, the whiner baby, that's not of Jesus Christ. That's going to cost you something. Your personal preference. In fact, in Mark 8:34, Jesus says something very, that it's almost at that time, it was crazy, because he says, listen, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross. And what did it mean to pick up your cross back then? It means that you are going to die. See, I was nice. I just said, smack your baby. No, he says, put your baby, your selfish pride, your flesh, put it on the cross and kill it, is what Jesus is saying. He takes it a step further. So it's not about you. It's not about a feeling. It's a decision that you have to make. It's a commitment that you make. It's like when you said your wedding vows, and sometimes it's like, man, that you said those things, yeah? And it costs you. Sometimes you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. This person is driving me crazy right now. Yes or no? Every married person in here should say yes. Because God is, it's challenging. But God knows what he's doing. My wife clears her throat. But listen, when you put that side of you to death and you surrender to be the better image of what God called you, the two of you to do, there's nothing better. But it means what? Death to yourself. Right? When I preach at weddings, I often say, listen, this is the day that we celebrate two funerals and one birth. But look at me kind of crazy. He's like, what do you mean two funerals? I said, yeah, death to yourself and death to yourself and the birth of new creation of what God wants to do through the two of you. Right? But it's going to cost you something. And let's move on to the third point. In Mark 10:41-44, Jesus says, right, then this is the disciples now. They heard. They're ear hustling. And they don't like what they hear, huh? They're like, these two dirty rats. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and say, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, right, lord it over them. It might be today, right? It could be like your boss, a position of power, somebody that is in a position of authority in your life, and they like to lord it over them or over you. And their high officials exercise authority over them, right? Now he's talking about government. But Jesus flips the script and he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Oh, man. Like, when you finish reading that, right? When Jesus says, whoever wants to become great of you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Everybody say, wah, wah, wah. That's what Jesus did to them right there. They're like, what? No, Jesus. That's not what you're supposed to say. You're saying, yeah, you're going to sit at the right, you're going to sit at the left. It's going to be great. People are going to be in grapes to us and a fan. Right? That's not what Jesus says. He says, listen, if you want to be first, you need to be what? Last. You need to be a slave to all. Some of the moms in the room says, I have four kids. I'm a slave already. Man, I've never heard the amen so clearly on the front row right here. Amen to that. Right? And then the Holy Spirit is holding me back. I'm going to heed to it. Now, you know what? And then I don't help. I'll be honest with you. Right? I'll be honest with you. This is between me, you, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't help sometimes if you're like, man, I'm just tired. I don't want to help like this. Yes or no? Yeah, so since it's like she has a kid plus one. Four kids plus one. And Toby, the new dog. Oh, man, that dog is full-time job, too. We're going to put a diaper on him. No, we're not. He's a good dog. But number three, what we see is that discipleship, right? What we see Jesus saying right here, he says, listen, you need to reject the world's view of greatness. You need to reject the world's view of greatness. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to forget about what the world thinks is great. It's not about you. Jesus says you have to be a servant and a slave to all. Not what the world says. You know, not what you see on TV and all the things that are in positions of power. Jesus makes it very clear. He says, not so among you. Want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You want to see what makes people great? This is what the world thinks. Not so among you. Joey, Stephanie, Tiffany, Stephen, not so with you. Put your name in the blank there. Like, oh, I thought he was talking to the person sitting next to me. No, he's talking to you. In the world, right, leaders demand service, power, greatness means to be above other people. That you have authority, right? And in the kingdom, what does it mean? Jesus flips the whole world upside down. That in the kingdom of God, it says that what if Jesus himself came to serve, what does it mean for you? That you couldn't be served? No, it says that in the kingdom of God, that leaders have to serve. That power isn't used to abuse and to take advantage of people. The power is used to bless people. And that greatness means going lower, not higher. It means humbling yourself to serve. And so disciples, what that means, right, is we're just following and we're walking with Jesus Christ as his disciples. It means that we don't follow the culture. We follow Jesus Christ. Amen? He doesn't say follow the world. He says follow me. And so what do we do here? What's the application for us in the church? We serve because of who Jesus is, not because of anything else. Only because of who Jesus is, not because of what others do. Listen, there's always an opportunity to serve here in the church. And if you're going to serve, do it because Jesus is calling you to serve. Don't do it because you want to get favor with anybody on the team, with myself. You don't do it for that. Don't do it for the position. Don't do it for time. Do it for Jesus. And oftentimes what's going to happen is you're going to find out that it is just you and Jesus. And Jesus is watching. Right? And we serve out of the obedience that we have in our life. But here we come to the main point of this entire passage. If you forget about anything that I've said so far, focus on this and this alone. Jesus says in verse 45, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Man, if you just learn that, I'll be happy. Jesus will be happy if you memorize more of what I said today. But if you learn that, right? He says, man, Jesus didn't come to serve. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's telling you, what? I came to serve you and give my life on the cross for you. You're called to service in ministry. You're called to serve as a disciple. Don't do it for me. Do it for Jesus. Because he's given it all. He gives us the blueprint, right? He's showing us what it means to serve. And if Jesus served, then what? His disciples must also serve. And so God is calling you into service. And you might say, man, well, I don't have time. I don't do anything. Blah, 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 blah. That's how you talk. Oh, I don't have time. You don't know how busy it is. Like, when am I going to watch my Netflix, Jesus, and my Prime? And you talk like that. Yeah, I know you. The Holy Spirit tells me. You even whine like that. We have to serve. He gave His life on the cross for you, right? It's going to cost you something. Jesus served, His disciples must serve. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus washed feet. Jesus healed the hurting. Jesus fed the hungry crowds. Jesus forgave sinners. Jesus carried the cross. Jesus gave His life. So as you go through these things, listen, maybe God is not calling you into a place of full-time ministry, whatever it is, but God is calling on you to do something. When you see the injustice, when you see the hungry, when you see the people who are blind, they don't know who Jesus is. When people have sinned against you and you have a hard time forgiving, remember that Jesus has already done all that heavy lifting for you. Amen? And so we're called to be like Jesus. And serving isn't like just, I'm helping when I can. You think that Jesus is like, no, Jesus, when people came to Jesus, they were broken, they were flawed. People came to Him. People tore through the roofs to bring their friends. You guys remember that? And Jesus never stopped and says, do you see my agenda today? Don't you know that I have to go and preach the Beatitudes today? I have 10,000 things to do. I'm going to go smack down the Pharisees in the temple today. I don't have time for this. Jesus never did that. What did He do? He saw people where they were. He saw them, their need, and He cared for them. And He served them. And so listen, every one of us in here is called to serve in one way, shape, or form. It's not always going to be from here or up there or behind the screens or set up and tear down. God is calling you to serve out there. Because people need to see Jesus in action, yes? People need to be seeing the hands and the feet of Jesus. And when they ask you why you do what you do, you give all the glory to Him. Why are you so kind? Because Jesus is so kind to me. Why are you always so positive? Because I wasn't this way, but Jesus, man, He gives me hope every single day. What is it? How can you speak so much truth? Because I was broken, I was hurt, I was addicted, but Jesus set me free. But Jesus made me whole. And so you need to be His hands and His feet. We need to get busy, every single one of us, doing what? Serving Jesus for His honor and for His glory. See, serving is a requirement of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not optional. Not optional. And here, the church, the big C, or even the little C, right? Christ Community Church. We belong to the big body of Christ. The church is where you get to exercise your gifts, talents, and abilities for His glory. And no task is so small or so big. Maybe God is pulling in your heart to do something, right? I love the sisters that say, you know, I'm serving in this capacity. I'm bringing soup. I'm bringing donuts. I'm helping here. I'm folding tables. I'm doing bulletins. Whatever God has called you to do, do it for His glory. Right? Don't do it for us. If Jesus is calling you to it, get to it. Yes? Nothing is better. Serving is not about a ministry position. It's not something that you do because you're so kind and you want to volunteer. Right? Serving isn't an optional spiritual add-on. It's not like when you go to Starbucks and you order your drink, it's like, I'm going to have this and that and put a little cold foam and now the protein because you're watching your diet. Put the little extra. No, it's not that. It's one of the main things. That's what it means when we serve Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, is you can't call Him Lord and refuse to live the way that He lived. Are you guys hearing me? Don't blame me, blame Jesus. Mark chapter 10. Amen? But listen, it's for your own good, man. When you're serving Jesus, it's for your own good, yes? It's like nothing feels better. Man, you're called to work. You know, when you I don't go to the gym that often. When I work out every so often, I feel good about myself after. It's called the Helper's High. When you get to serve Jesus Christ, it's even the Holy Spirit is like, man, that was great. Good job. You got to bless somebody. You got to make the invitation. Nothing is better. Helping people is cool. But when you're doing God's work and the Holy Spirit is moving, man, that's amazing. And you get invited to be a part of that. Serving is a lifestyle choice. Right? You have to choose. Did I cover the fourth point already? I better give it to you guys. If not, you won't be able to go home. Number four. Discipleship means serving like Jesus served. Serving like Jesus served. Out of humility. Out of oneness with God. Jesus would always pray what? Not my will be done, but the will of the Father, yes. And I tell you what the Father has told. He's always in alignment, right? You can't be off making up your own things. You got to be in alignment with God's word. You got to be in alignment with the Holy Spirit, yeah? You have to serve the way that Jesus served. All right, let me get ready to close here. Or I can keep going because I know you guys all ate sopta. The practical application, right? Is that, listen, you're not serving out of obligation, but for a calling. And sometimes God calls you, listen, God calls you to things that maybe not are your, like, your, it might not be your best talent or ability, but God calls you because there is a need. Yeah? Sometimes it's like, man, that's not really my jam, but I know there's a need in children's ministry. Then you better get on the rotation. You know what I'm saying? Is Jesus calling? Better answer it. I know that's my mom's phone. It's not an obligation, but of a calling, right? And to fill a need that God has. He doesn't need you. The other thing too is, let me be clear, is that He invites you to it. It's different. On the surface, it looks like work, but it's a real blessing. You know what I mean? Like when you're serving and doing what God has called you to do, and even if it's not your jam, you learn that God will start moving and teach you and move you in different ways. It's amazing. But it takes what? Obedience. I don't like that. Obedience? No, I want to be in charge. You might be called to just be someone that sets up and tears down. You might be somebody that is greeting. Your gift might be an interactor. You might be the person that is out there inviting people to come. Come to, you know, the men's Burgers and Bibles event. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, brothers that darn well love to eat hamburgers. I'm looking at some of them right now by the looks of our stomachs. I better see you guys there. It's just the invitation, right? The gals have the coffee meetup. You know, they love coffee. It's great. And they love Jesus. I'm getting the look over here like, yes, they love Jesus too. You might be the person that your job is just to be the invitation. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Right? Let the Holy Spirit do what He's going to do. But God is calling you to invite and you're like, I don't want to. They say no. What if they say yes? It's the difference between life and death. You know what I mean? Just do it. Do it for Jesus. The other thing that we need to know is that it's not just about here, at church or at work. Disciples what? Serve their families. Uh-oh. Now I'm really getting into your business. Right? You're not the king. She's not the queen either. Everybody comes to serve in the family. Yes or no? It makes a big difference when we're all serving. It makes a difference when the many hands make the work what? Light. That means that you can't leave your socks everywhere and all kinds of stuff everywhere. I'm airing out my laundry right there. That's my number one pet peeve. You'll find socks all over the place, but I have to pick them up. You have to lead, right? A disciple leads. He loves. He forgives. He sacrifices. He models Jesus Christ at home. She models Jesus Christ at home. Yes or no? Yeah. And isn't it amazing when the two of you guys are serving that way? And it's not because then there's not, if everybody is all hands, I'm helping, you're helping, Doesn't it feel good? Instead of you're the one who's doing and the other person's over there watching YouTube. Ooh, they're watching Netflix. I'm telling on somebody right now. Over there exercising their finger. I'm exercising. Oh, yes. Your hand's cramping up from so much. How about you help? How about you serve at the house? Yes or no? Amen. That sign-up sheet in the back, the marriage counseling sign-up sheet, would be almost zero if everybody was helping in the home. Yes or no? Amen. I know all the guys are like, hey, man, it's true. And the last one, right, disciples serving in your community. So we have to be out there in the community interacting. It's an opportunity. A lot of people, guess what, man? They're not going to want to come to church. They have misconception of who Jesus Christ is, but they're seeing you. They're watching you. Right? It's an opportunity for you to evangelize by serving the way that Jesus served. You can be kind. You can be generous. And you could tell them about Jesus. So how come you're like this? Because let me tell you about, I was a hot mess. And don't say it like this. I was a hot mess just like you, but I met Jesus. No, don't say that. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But let me, you tell them your story, your testimony about how we were broken and flawed and how we're still, that He is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He set us free, right? He came to make us whole. And disciples, ultimately, right, to serve the lost. You have to serve the lost. It's not just that you came to serve the Christians. Oh, I love hanging out with my Christian brothers and sisters. They're already saved. They know Jesus. Praise God. That's great. But Jesus didn't come to save what? He came to seek the lost, to bring them to Him. And so that means that, guess what? You better be serving the lost too. Oh, but I don't like those people, Pastor. Those people are mean. I can't even be around them. You don't know these people. And these people are the worst. That's who you need to be serving. Guess what? We were those people once upon a time. And Jesus, enough, come down, give His life for us so that we might be made whole and have a relationship with the Father. We need to be serving the lost. So, in closing, Jesus came, right? He didn't pick up a sword. Like you would have expected back then, a triumphant leader on a white horse with a sword swinging. It's like, here I am, right? Like Conan, the barbarian. He didn't pick up a crown, right? What did Jesus do? He picked up a towel. He showed His disciples how to serve. It meant to serve that way. In fact, John 13, verse 12, He says, when He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned. He says, do you understand what I have done for you? He said, you ask them, you call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher and have washed your feet, so you should also wash one another's feet. And I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, say this together with me. You will be blessed if you do them. Right? He didn't pick up a sword. He didn't pick up a crown. He picked up a towel and He served. And in this example, prior to this, He wrapped the towel around His waist and He washed the disciples' feet. They're filthy, dirty, TikTok type of nail feet. Some of you guys watch those TikToks. You do, I know. So here's what we're going to do today. Lily and Stephanie are going to go around. Because sometimes you walk away and you're like, you know, sometimes the words wash over you. The word washes over you. Listen, what? The word of God needs to penetrate into your heart and you need reminders, right? And when in Joshua and Deuteronomy, what we learn is He says, leave reminders around your house. Bind the word right to your forehead. And I love that. It says, bind it on your forehead. Right? We need to be walking around with the Bible tied to our forehead. But this is a reminder today that Jesus didn't come for the title. He came with the towel. And so every adult that's in here, every person that's here, you're going to get a towel today. Right? Now, here's the other thing. It's like, oh, well, that's nice. Listen, this towel is only good if you do something with it. What do you have to do with it? You have to serve. You have to use it. So everybody's going to walk away with a towel just to remind us that it's not about you or your title. Where's your towel? You got to come the same way that Jesus came. Amen? All right, so Stephanie and Lily are going to pass these out. And then what I want you guys to do is I want you to go home. You guys have Sharpies at home? Yeah. I'm going to ask you next week. I might even text you and say, send me a picture of what, you don't have to, but God is calling you to serve somewhere. Write it down. Put a Sharpie on this and say, listen, this is where God is calling me to serve. And then you sign your name, right? You have to commit to serving Jesus Christ. She gave you that one because you guys like the Raiders, the silver. And here's the thing, put it somewhere where you will see that God has called you to serve. That God didn't give you a title. He didn't need one. He came to serve with all of his heart. He came to give his life. In fact, he says, deny yourself and pick up your cross. So when you start to feel that the baby starts to talk, no, you got to quiet. Pick up your cross. Pick up your towel. And serve Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your kindness, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that you are calling us into discipleship by serving, Lord God, that you are revealing to us what it means to really serve, that to love is to have a heart of service, to serve the way that you serve, Lord Jesus. That to serve, Lord God, you're calling us right now, Lord, to repent of our pride, repent of our attitudes, Lord God, repent of our whatever we think, Lord God. It's not about us, it's about you, Lord Jesus. And you're calling us to commit to this discipleship. You're calling us to be disciples that we want to serve you, Lord God. Not because we want position or clout, Lord God, because we want to serve and be like you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, you served. You humbled yourself, Lord God. You became a man. And you allowed yourself to be crucified, Lord God. The forgiveness of our sins. And so, Lord, you're inviting us today, Lord, to put down whatever it is that is holding us back from serving and pick up our towel. Enough with the excuses, enough with the things that we don't have time, enough with the attitude that we're too tired, that we want to serve you, Lord Jesus, right where we are. Because you've called us, Lord God, into this place of service. So, Lord God, this morning we do that, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to be the Lord of our lives, Lord God. We commit ourselves to you fully, Lord Jesus. And we want to serve you, Lord God, because you came to serve. Help us not to serve and just be make excuses, Lord God, that someday when the time is right, when I know enough scripture, when it's convenient for me, when I'm not tired. No, help us to say, today is the day that I'm called to serve. Today is the day that I stop making excuses. Today is the day that I just give my life over to Jesus and allow him to use me wherever he wants to be, where he calls me, where the Holy Spirit calls me, whether I'm at work or at home, whether I'm out in the community, Lord. When I'm at church, I'm always serving for your glory, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer this morning. Help us to forgive the way that you forgive. Help us to serve the way that you forgive people, Lord God. Help us to heal. Help us to feed. Help us to clothe, Lord God. All for your honor and for your glory. And thank you, Lord God, that you are such an amazing God to us. Nothing we could ever do could earn our way, Lord God, to heaven. We deserve mercy. We don't deserve your mercy. We deserve justice, Lord God. We deserve wrath. But instead, Lord God, you clothe us in your righteousness. You make us whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are amazing and an awesome God to us. Move in our lives, Lord God. Work in the conviction that we need by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we just say yes. Yes to you. Not to me. To you. The living God. The Son of God. Seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord God. That we might just do what you've called us to do. Every single person here, Lord God. To walk in intimacy with you, Lord Jesus. In intimacy with the Father and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to feel your joy and your peace as we're doing it. Thank you again for the calling, Lord God, and the invitation to serve. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.